Good morning. What a, first of all, music this morning, on point. I love In the Garden. One of my favorites. Thank you for that. And Emily talked about love. You know, and I didn't have it by Thursday or Friday when Julie texted me. But I thought I had sermon ready. I had my Bible in my car all week, just been taking some notes and doing things, but I wasn't sure. Yesterday I got home and pretty sure I was done. I laid in bed last night. I got up and let dogs out at 11:30 and then put them to bed. And I got back in bed and this phrase was going through my mind. What's love got to do with it? And it's a song. I don't know who sang it, and I'm not going to sing it for you, but anybody know who sang it?
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner. See, I should know that, but I don't. Okay? Tina Turner. And it just kept going in my mind, and I couldn't visualize who was singing it. But God was laying it on my heart. So when I let the dogs out at 11:30, I piddled around for a little bit and went back to bed about midnight. I knew I had to get up early this morning because I had to go get some donuts and some coffee for my people, and which is great, by the way. We're up to, I think we had 8 there this morning, kids, junior high school age. I will tell you this. If you haven't been here yet, you're still in for some gift certificates. We'll prorate them, of course. But you're still in. Blacks, boys, you want to come? Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, donuts, coffee, chocolate milk, Jackson, Lexi, whoever. I don't care. If we got to get a bigger room, we got to move upstairs, we'll do that. I don't care. I'm thankful that those kids are making a commitment to be there. And they're very, very from age, from 7th grade, Brody and,
Brenna.
And then Delaney's in 8th grade, and then Bo and Maisie and Ryan in high school, and then Owen and Autumn are there in college. So it's different perspectives. But let me tell you, I got out of youth group years ago because the kids drove me nuts because they're too loud and too out of control. Again, I was going to be a school teacher. There's a reason I'm not. These kids are the quietest group I've ever met. I feel like I hear myself talking. I have to call on people. Just so it's really cool. I know they'll come out of the show eventually, but it's been cool, and probably I've learned way more from them than they have from me, but that's why we're doing it. So this statement comes in, what's love got to do with it? And why I'm telling you all this is I don't know, but I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I thank you for the message you've given me, Lord. Thank you for the time that we've spent here this morning already. Thank you for the praise and worship. Thank you for the offerings that you've given to us to give back as our first fruits. Lord, now as we come to a time of the message, and I just ask you to take me out of the equation, Lord. Just shut my mind down, shut my thought process down, and let me trust you. Let me be the mouthpiece for you. Give me the words you want me to say. And give people the ears that they hear what you want them to hear. In your name I pray. Amen. So, this is kind of a quiz. What's love got to do with it? And I'll start with last Sunday. You know, I was following Les's sermon, and man, I thought I had it. We were going to be in Romans, and we were going to pick up where he left off and talk about some different things. And I was pretty set. And I got home from church, and of course, I didn't go to the barn before church. Got home from church, and our best ewe had a lamb, what I thought was a lamb. And he was up, he was dry, he was feeding her, she was feeding him, her, whatever. And everything looked good. I go over to the edge of our, because she's in a short pen where we lamb, and then I go into the, over to the edge of the big pen because I have a lamb that's got a hernia and he wasn't getting up, so I went and picked him up. And I look around the corner, and there's a lamb laying outside the big pen. And it's dead, but it's not like stiff yet. So I'm like, man, I just missed it. I stuck my finger in its mouth. His mouth was still warm. So then I was mad at myself because I didn't go to the barn that morning. Because let me preface this with this ewe, when we had these guys ultrasounded, should have had lambs, according to the ultrasound tech, immediately after she got done with the ultrasound. She wanted us to pen her up because she just had big lambs. Well, now we're February 4th. I wasn't expecting her to lamb. I figured she'd passed, you know, they died and she'd passed them, whatever. So, no reason for me to go to the barn. Everybody else got lambs. Lambs are all good. But I was mad at myself because I didn't go to the barn because I wasn't being a good shepherd. Well, I wasn't being good barn help. Shelby is the shepherd. I'm the barn help. So we got home from church, and I went out to check on this lamb, and Shelby and I were out doing some other things, and she said, Dad, what is that under the manger over there? She said, all I see is an ear. So she went down, got on her hands and knees, dug out a lamb. Same size lamb as the other one that was in the pen, same size lamb as one that was outside the pen that died. This girl had triplets. The one lamb died outside. The other lamb that was under the manger, still alive, put her in the pen with the mother. Mother started beating her. She'd been without the lamb too long, didn't recognize it. Somebody else had probably dried it. Somebody else had probably got it up. So the mother did not recognize this lamb. So my whole point to that was, man, when we got that lamb out from the manger, she was just beside herself, bellowing, calling out for her mother. She just wanted somebody to love her. So many times in our life, we just want somebody to love us. So we turn to different vices, we turn to different things. Guys, I'm here to tell you, and you can change the title to What's Love Got to Do with Him or It, whatever. He loves us. We don't have to look elsewhere. He loves us. Long story short, that lamb is now a bottle baby, which I despise. Because I have to go out before I go to bed. I have to go out when I get home from work. Shelby's usually there when I get home from work. But then I go out before I go to bed, and then Shelby comes at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I tried to make arrangements a couple times this week to get home. Morgan fed her one day, but I got home in the midday to feed her again. Just a lot of work. But the lamb's doing well, and now when you walk into the barn, we are her source of love. She will run. Doesn't matter where she's at. She's still kind of dumb. She hasn't figured out how to get out of the creek full time. So she goes and bangs against the other gate to get out, but then she eventually follows another lamb out. But I think we are a bunch of people that are looking for love. We know the source of the ultimate love. What are we doing to share it? Our loving God loves to love because He is love and loves all. Now that you're confused. But how many times is love used in the Bible? Depends on which version you're looking at. In the King James, it's used 310 times, 131 times in the Old Testament, 179 times in the New Testament. In the New King James, it's used 361 times. In the English Standard Translation, it's used 551 times. And then in the New Living Translation, it's used 645 times. And I think, do we lose that much in translation? But then I think about our relationships with people here. And man, if you're not telling somebody you love them, do we lose that in translation? I think we do. Our God tells us every day how much He loves us. So I'm going to give you some phrases here. They're all different. You know, and men, this is your precursor. Don't forget, Wednesday is Valentine's Day. Do what you want with that. Okay? Chris and I did a Valentine's Day / softball coach's wife last weekend, Friday and Saturday, because once season starts, we don't have time to, and practice starts the 19th, and she usually gets tired of me getting home at 8 o'clock at night and getting up to go to work the next morning. And so every year we try to do something. We went and spent the night Friday night, had a really nice dinner, and then we did something Saturday that I wasn't super sure about. We went and had a couples massage. Well, after having the couples massage, I'm here to tell you, if you ever get the opportunity, go do that. We did an hour couples massage, and I didn't think I could ever get so relaxed. And I was just, I mean, I still feel good, but my neck hurts today because, man, this girl really worked me hard. And I'm pretty sure she wasn't a very big girl, so pretty sure at some point she was standing on the table, and I mean, I could feel her forearms, that's what she was massaging with. And but by the end of it, I was just like, and it opened my mind to what God wanted to really say today, and it's what's love got to do with it. Shame on me. And I asked the kids today in Sunday school, do you ever have that thing you think about before you go to bed and that thing you think about when you get up? Man, that was me. I mean, I went to sleep humming that song in my head. Weird. I woke up humming that song in my head. But I went downstairs and wrote it down because I was afraid I'd forget. But I didn't. That's how I know God is working and this is the message He wants. So the statements I'm going to make, I love my wife, I love my friends, I love baseball or softball, I love bacon, I love pizza, I love God. Those are all different variations of love. And that's how, obviously I don't love pizza or bacon as much as I love softball. And I don't love softball as much as I love the people in my life. And I don't love the people in my life as much as I love my wife and my kids. And I don't love my wife and my kids as much as I love my God. So that is the translation difference between the Bibles, is love is perceived differently depending on what relationship you're talking about. So I thought that was kind of neat. But God defines love. Let's go to 1 John. We're going to skip around. I'm going to give you a bunch of passages. Brody, I think, has them all up here. 1 John 3. It's not John 3:16, but it's 1 John 3:16. That is a strange coincidence. Funny how God's plan is perfect. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Okay? Pretty self-explanatory. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And, you know, Emily kind of touched on it in her devotion. When we say hate what is evil, sometimes we forget to hate the devil because he's kind of a non-factor until he attacks. Because we know what the story is. We know that our God's in charge. So we hate our circumstances, but we should hate what is evil. You know, it's biblical, so I'm going to do it. And cling to what is good. In our lives, what happens? What do we cling to? man, sometimes we just walk around. We cling to what's got us down. And it consumes us. Remember this verse, Romans 12:9. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. 1 Corinthians 16:14. It's a short verse, but a great reminder verse. If you got kids, if you have a spouse, if you have co-workers, 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. It doesn't say do the easy things in love. It says do everything in love. They pulled that verse right there from this cross. Because, man, when he was hanging on that cross, he was thinking about you, and he was hanging there because of the love he has for us. Matthew 22:37. I'd read it out of my Bible, but last week I discovered that my Bible's missing about 25 pages. Brand new Bible. So it got lost in translation, I'm going to say. It didn't. But it's missing, so I've got to call in to where the Bible was bought in the press, because I can't have a Bible without that. But here it is. Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want just the good part of you. He wants all of you. With all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Even the junk we have, Jesus loves us and loved us enough to go to that cross. John 3:16, we all know that one. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know that he loves you enough to look past every blemish in your life? And he wants to live eternally with you. It says it right here. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Guys, even though our bodies are going to die, we are not going to perish. We are going to have eternal life with him. If you can't love wholeheartedly after reading that, let's go to Proverbs 8. I'll get to the main passage, I promise. All these were too good to pass up, though. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. That's a promise directly from God that if you seek him, you're going to find him. Why are we in the world we live in today? Why is this world in the shape it's in? It's because we stopped seeking him. You know, and I can revert everything back to the schools, but I'm going to do it. Our government took prayers out of school, and we stopped seeking him. Our government took the simple thing like a Pledge of Allegiance out of our schools when we started seeking him. Stopped seeking him. Man, we've gone all downhill since then. But now, we've got more people seeking him, and I guarantee we're going to find him. We're starting to come out because God's leading us out. But we have to remember I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. This is not a game of hide and seek that I used to play with my kids. When I get tired of them, I say, you guys go hide, I'll come find you. I was pretty good at that game. Because I could sit there in my chair or be outside for hours. And they'd come back and say, Dad, you didn't find me. I win. I said, oh, yeah, you did. You want to play again? But I don't do that with God. I try to seek God. And if we're seeking God, we're going to find him. He doesn't hide. He does not hide in very good hiding places. He is everywhere. This week we got to see the big orange thing in the sky. A lot. Right? And all I could think of is, God, you are so good. Because my barn was a mess. My yard was a mess. Now it's just a hard mess. From where I walked and where I, Shelby tromped through mud, because when Shelby walks, she don't walk lightly. She carries a big stick. She leaves mud footprints, but it was really muddy. Okay? But now, praise God, it's a hard mess. Because I can fix that. Proverbs 3:12. Again, you're going to see a central theme in all these verses. Because the Lord, now listen, and kids, if you're still in here, I want you to listen. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as the Father, the Son, he delights in. There are going to be times in your life when you feel like God is lowering the boom on you. He disciplines those he loves. And I tell my girls I coach, you know, if I stop, I will coach you harder than you've ever been coached. If I stop coaching you, you better ask what I did. And that's what I feel like God does. Man, he disciplines and he instructs and he'll go and he'll go and he'll go. And when he stops talking to me and stops disciplining me, I better find out what the heck I did. Because I've turned away. Okay? As the Father, the Son that he delights in. I didn't have any sons, but I'm getting two. Man, I'd have disciplined both of them a little harder when they were kids, especially the redheaded one. I tease. Not really. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. I love this one. Because if we have these two things, we're good. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. I don't know why "and man" was included in there. I don't really care what my good name in the sight of man is. If I got a good name inside of God, it's going to, the good name in the sight of man is going to take care of themselves. They may think I'm weird, which I am. Well, never mind. I think I'm normal. I think everybody else is weird. My kids will argue that. But do we know when the first time the word love was used in the scriptures? Anybody? This is a quiz. Bless. No? I figured he'd know it. Genesis 22:2. Let's turn there. I just want to... We used it the first time. I want to make sure we're... It kind of blew my mind that we never said it before this. But Genesis 22:2. And I've preached on this before, but we're going to read it. Actually, we're going to start in 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Now, I don't know about you, but God tells me, I want you to take your only son, or the one that you love, your first son, and go sacrifice him. It'd be a hard pill to swallow. But then I think, it's what God did for me. He took his son, sent him down here, because he could have very easily left him with him. But he sent him down here to live a life of 32 years, 33 years, whatever, and he lived a sinless life. I've said it before, I can't get out of bed without sin. This morning even, I was like, oh God, I really got to get up. Yep, the dogs want you. More importantly, I want you. You know, once I kicked my feet and let the dogs out, drank a bottle of water and sat down, I was like, oh, I'm glad I got out of bed. Because God wanted to work on me. But that's the first time love was used. Anybody know the last time love is used? Well, I'll just give you a hint. It's clear at the very back. This Bible comes in talking about love. It's used a bunch of times throughout talking about love. And it's used in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. If you've never read Revelation, read it. But this is the last time it's used. It's kind of a weird passage, but they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Guys, that is where we want to be. Just the wording of that's a little wordy. But they did not love their lives. 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. Triumph's a cool word. It means victory. We've done it. We've arrived. We've won. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink to death. What's that say? Man, we beat death because we loved. And he loved us, more importantly. While we're on triumph, real quick, I just want to throw a couple things out there. Delaney and Gabby, because I'd be remiss if I didn't, because I made such a big deal of football. Delaney, Gabby, and I can't think of her name.
Reagan
Welch. All played 8th grade basketball. And I believe back-to-back KMAC champs, 7th and 8th grade, they lost one game in 2 years. And that was to a non-league opponent, to a much bigger school. That's pretty cool. I mean, 17-0, I've only went undefeated in 1 year coaching. And I've coached a lot of years. So, I mean, enjoy that one because you may never see it again. So that's number one. Number two, Trevor, Isaac, Jackson, and Bo are all part of the varsity basketball team that won the KMAC championship last weekend, I think. But they had to wait to see how this week all played out. They ended up sharing it with Fredericktown. But again, I've never coached and won. I've won one championship, and that was basically when the kids were itty bitty. So it doesn't come along very often. Enjoy it. But guys, our congregation's out there. And not just in sports, it's out there in a lot of things. Now let's get into the nitty gritty here, real quick. I'm just going to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 13. This is, if you ever have a question what love is, this is something that you've probably seen before. It hangs in our house when we don't change things around and put up Christmas decorations and whatever. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 3, starting in verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. Verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappeared. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And I'm not going to belabor that. You know, you can break that apart. You can do whatever you want. But understand that if we don't have love, it's all going to fade away. Because he showed us his love in a very powerful way. We love the story of Jesus because we love the birth. We love the little cute stories of him being a kid and tricking all the, or being smarter than all the preachers of the law and stuff. And then we love the way he chose his disciples. We loved all the healings and all the miracles he did. We don't always love the cross. Why? Because, man, we put him there. We put him there. And while he was there, that's all he thought about was you and I today. And covering our sins. And when he looks at me today, he sees me as pure. That's how much he loves us. And when we get back to that day and we walk full circle with him and we get to heaven, we're not going to remember any of the stuff we did here. You know what we're going to do? We're going to praise and worship with him forever. Forever. So as we wrap up today, if you have questions about that, if you want to start that relationship today with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's no time like today. If you want to know more about what love looks like, three of us will be here. The praise team will be here. We'll sing a song of invitation. If you need prayer for anything, if you have a situation you can't let go of, if you have a situation you think is hopeless, in Sunday school today, we talked about some hopeless situations. when God showed his love for Moses and the Israelites and brought the plague to the Egyptians. Guys, he can deliver you out of anything. Anything. No problem is too big for the love our God has for you. That's what I want you to take out today. Share his love. Now, man, you have another task of sharing your love this week. I'm done. Chris and I are done. We made a vow that we're done. I'll probably still get a card. But show God's love. Don't show our manly love. Show God's love this week in everything you do. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for how important love is to you. We know that if you've used it that many times in your word, it's vitally important, but we also know the example you showed by sending your son. And we know the love he had for us when he was thinking about us on that cross. Lord, just enlighten your love for us this week and let us go out and enlighten the world that your love is active in us this week. And that no matter what situation we are in, we show your example of your love for us. Because it's never ending. It doesn't look back and keep track. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory.